because my community, ooh, those people are, they're everything. They're everything. And they're not, each person is not everything all the time, right? Because nobody can be everything to you all the time. That's too stressful. I can't be everything to to any one person all the time. But thankfully I have a good size network of people. And so I can tap into different people at different times when I need them. And different people are sent my way at different times to help me to recalibrate and refocus. And so that really sustained me, and it lifted me, and it reminded me of joy and happiness. And you know what? I love that.
Okay, I'm going to drop the intro, but I want to let you know that all of the podcast episodes are now also being video recorded. So starting at season 2, episode 7, you can go to the Custom Teaching Solutions YouTube channel and find all of the podcast episodes there. A lot of times when I'm talking about book recommendations and just other random things, I'm actually showing you what those look like on camera. Okay, let's jump into the intro. Hey, hey, welcome to the Culture Centered Classroom Podcast, a space for educators looking to step into their power by creating a classroom environment and lessons that affirm, welcome, and celebrate all their students through instruction. I'm your host, Jocelyn Hubbard, an educator, teacher coach, wife, mother to 5 children, and your partner on this journey of creating culture-centered classrooms. Let's jump into the episode.
This is a check-in episode. I talk a lot about finding an accountability partner, and this is a space for me where I am asking you to be my accountability partner. Setting goals and successfully accomplishing them is directly linked to your check-ins. And those check-ins are things that happen with yourself, right? Like checking in internally, but then also checking in with your accountability partner. So today I'm doing an accountability check-in. In season 1, episode 4 and 5, I talked about the benefits of choosing a focus word for the year. Episode 4 walks you through how to complete a one-word focus activity, set of activities with your students. Episode 2 walks you through completing this one-word focus activity for yourself. Both of these episodes dropped around the new year for 2022. So if you didn't get to listen to them and you're scrolling back, that's where you're going to find them. But if you were able to listen to those episodes, did you set a focus word? And what is it? I love to know what people's words are. Now, I really do want to know. So if you can message me on Instagram, send me a DM. My handle is @iteachcustom. I'll make sure I link that in the show notes. Or you can send me a message on LinkedIn. Maybe you're not on Instagram, but maybe you're on LinkedIn. Now, if you didn't set a focus word, I will say that now is actually a really great time. First of all, there's no time like the present, but also at the time that this episode is being aired, it's back to school season. This is the time when you are establishing your goals and your rules and expectations and norms for your classroom. And really having a focus can help you to do that, because goal setting and intention setting around one focus word, again, it gives you a focus. It gives your students a focus. There are, like, setting a goal can be really overwhelming at times. And so it's best to start with one step. Lao Tzu said that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Choosing one word is like taking that first step. Establishing your goals and setting your intentions in alignment with that focus is the second step. Next, write out a few actions that you can take to keep your daily journey in line with your focus. The next step is to take action by finding accountability in, like, ways to, like, hold yourself accountable, but then also finding an accountability partner or an accountability community. And then share your word and some of the action steps that you have outlined with that community and invite feedback. Okay, so that was just like a quick recap of the process, but to really walk through that thing, hop back to season one, episodes 4 and 5, so you can get all of the steps, right? Like literally each episode walks you step by step through how to do it. And then I also created a teaching resource specifically designed for you to guide your students through this activity. There are worksheets, there's PowerPoint presentation, like there's all the things that you need to walk your students through how to choose a focus word and then how to like start to set intentional goals and all of that. The other thing that's really great about that activity is that it starts to allow you to listen to your students, right? To hear the way that they feel about a certain word, any triggers that they might have around certain words. If you're thinking about honesty and trust and friendship, like understanding what they think about these different words is really important as you are designing the rules and expectations and all of that inside of your classroom. But you can grab that resource in my Teachers Pay Teachers store, which I will also link in the show notes. Now, I want to shift directions just slightly. Okay, I want to let you know how my progress is coming with staying in alignment with my focus word. So this year, I chose the word happy. And that I feel like is kind of an ambitious word, but it was a word that just kept coming back as I was putting that energy out into the atmosphere. And I was inspired by several things, but the final like sign that was the word I should choose was a fortune cookie message that read, "Don't pursue happiness, create it." So like, stop chasing things that you think are going to bring you happiness, Jocelyn, but decide what happiness looks like to you and then create it. So this year I have focused on defining what happiness means to me and then understanding how I want to create it both personally and professionally. And I will just preface all of this by saying that there have been challenges, right? Like I am a human being. I think that sometimes when we view people online, when we're listening to podcasts or whatever, there is like this disconnect in that person actually being a real person with real challenges and struggles and all of that. So please let me preface this in saying that there have been challenges, and I'll talk a little bit about that too. So my definition of happiness, and this is a working definition because I feel like it ebbs and flows and shifts, and that is the beauty of the check-in with yourself and then with your accountability partners. And that's why I like doing this activity with students also, because I want them to see that their understanding of a concept can change. As they mature, as they grow up, their understanding of a thing is going to evolve, and it should evolve. And we don't want to hold them captive. We don't want to hold them prisoner to the way that they thought about something earlier in the school year, earlier in their life. So anyway, I digress. So my working definition of happiness is occupying spaces as my authentic self, actively seeking peace, resting in my current blessings, finding liberation in letting go, honoring my enjoyment of my quality time, and allowing myself to be nurtured by others. That's my working definition so far. I have really enjoyed focusing on this word as I guide and as I plan my days and I set my intentions and as I'm processing my emotions. It has actually been really enjoyable because I think that in different phases of our life, we are encouraged to focus on our happiness, and in other phases of our life, we're not. So for myself right now, I am a mother of 5 children. I am a small business owner. I am a wife. I am a daughter. I am a friend. And that's a very busy phase of life. My dad says that I'm a part of the sandwich generation, right? So I'm sandwiched between the needs of my parents and the needs of my children. And that is a very jam-packed sandwich, because then I have myself in the middle of all that. And many times the needs of my parents and the needs of my children far outweigh or no, I'm not going to say that they outweigh the needs of myself, but I will say that I put an emphasis on, or I focus on, because sometimes they are talking louder. And until my body literally says, Jocelyn, you cannot do this, right? Like a lot of times when I'm very, very stressed out, I get physically sick. And maybe you do too, but my body is saying, stop it. Stop it. You need to take care of yourself. But why does it take all of that for me to stop and to focus on what's going to bring me peace and joy and happiness? So it's been really great to focus on my definition of happiness and to see how it evolves and ebbs and flows as this year is going on. Now, personally, I am seeking happiness in my relationships with myself and with my family and my friends. I am also seeking happiness in silence. I am an extrovert and I do enjoy a lot of energy and noise and activity, but I have really learned that there is peace and happiness and joy in silence. I need to rest, and that for me happens in the quietness of life. Sometimes that happens in my car. Sometimes that happens in my closet. But silence and stillness makes me happy like it never has before. And then professionally, I am seeking happiness as I consider the schools that I partner with. Maybe scaling back or partnering with certain types of schools. As an entrepreneur, as a small business owner, especially when you're starting your business, and you know, this may not necessarily be a nugget for you, but I think that you can, as far as like being an entrepreneur, but I'm sure you can relate it to other things in your life. Like, right, when you're starting something new and fresh, you are tempted so many times to just take whatever comes your way, even if that thing is not really in alignment with all of the goals that you've set for yourself. But you need the experience, you need the money, and you need whatever else it is that you need. So I am really this year starting to consider the partnerships that I have with schools and saying, well, this is not going to be the best fit for both of us, right? Like, I'm not going to be able to serve you the way that I believe you deserve to be served. And also in this serving, it is a partnership. And I'm not sure that we are all in alignment with the way that this partnership should look. So I also want to consider the amount of time that I need to rest and recover in order to show up fully for these partnerships. So when I just say, yes, I am going to partner with a school, I give them 110%. There's a charter school that I just started working with in Michigan. And for the in-person training that I did with them a little while at the very beginning of their school year, I actually changed a part of my workshop, and I decided that in order to make the workshop even more robust and meaningful for them, that I needed to bring in like this other physical resource. But I had, like, as far as the pricing of the workshop, those extra resources were not really included in the price of the workshop. But I stand in integrity in that the price of the workshop is the price of the workshop, right? And just because I have done some things to improve that workshop, I'm not gonna like not give you the improvements, even though they've come to my mind, right? So I have to think about what is it that I need to walk in integrity, to show up fully for this partnership. And that means that I need to rest and I need to recover so that the best ideas can come to me and that I can speak intentionally and I can speak from a place of peace, because that's the other thing, right? The type of work that I do with educators it's deep. I mean, I'm not going to a school giving a keynote, right? Like, I'm not here to like rah-rah energize. Like, that's not the sole focus. This is a workshop, right? This is professional development. And so it's not just fluff and stuff. It is challenge. It is us getting down there and grappling with some ideas. It is sharing some emotional spaces. And that can be heavy on me too. even though I'm standing up there as the presenter, right, and I'm walking around and I'm facilitating this workshop, in order for me to continue to do this work from a place of joy and because I know that it is my passion, then I really have to think about what happiness looks like in that space. So that's personal, that's professional. And I find that the more I focus on happiness, the more I see it. So I was walking through Kohl's earlier this summer and I saw all these different shirts talking about happiness. I'm like, what? You know, I saw a sweatshirt that was talking about joy and happiness. And I'm like, okay, my aunt gave me a picture that said, oh gosh, I wish I could find it right now. You know, just at the time of this recording, we've just moved like a couple months ago from South Carolina to Illinois. And so I'm still unboxing a lot of things, but she gave me this picture that talks about joy and happiness. And I'm like, I don't think she knew, right? Like she wasn't necessarily one of the people in my like direct accountability circle that knew that I was focusing on happiness. So I thought it was just really cool that all of these things are coming as reminders that I should be focusing on happiness. So I did though, I did tell some of my family and some of my friends about my word, because like I said, accountability and partnership is so important. And this has allowed them to remind me to create my happiness. This has allowed them to help me to identify happiness. This has allowed them to know me in a different way. It really has. And that's why, like I said, I love doing this activity with students, because it really gets to the heart of who people are in a much different way. When you focus in on something very small, right? Like niche down, or niche or whatever, however you want to say it. So it has been a journey. It has. And I think that the greatest challenge to my happiness has been the move from South Carolina to Illinois. Ooh, listen, that move almost broke me. Okay. I can't lie to you. Like, again, we are partners in this thing. That thing almost broke me. And there are a few reasons for that. We originally planned to move in December because my husband started this new job and he started that at the beginning of November. So we're like, okay, well, let's rush, you know, try to find a house, whatever, if we have to rent, if we da da da. But we want to all move in December. But then we thought about it and we said, winter in Illinois is a brutal. And I don't want to. I do not want to deal with it right now. So we stayed in South Carolina. But that still meant that my husband had to go back and forth to Illinois. So he would pretty much leave out on Monday morning and come back Thursday night. And I was home with all five of our kids. And the intensity of taking care of five children, keeping the house in order, preparing for the move, because we still had to do that, right? I flew out to Chicago several times for us to try to find a home in that area. And then also running a business, because hey, I was still partnered with schools, right? I'm still leading workshops and doing other things, right? Like posting on social media and making sure I'm putting out great content as far as blog posts and my podcast and all of those things. So it was a lot. It was a lot. And there were so many days that I questioned whether it was possible to create happiness. And maybe that is a bit dramatic, drastic, whatever, but I don't think so. And a lot of people say I'm a really dramatic person, but I don't think it is. Because listen, it wasn't like I'm not ungrateful, right? And it wasn't like I didn't realize the blessing that I had in having a home and a roof over my head, in having running water and heat and air, and that my children are healthy, that they have food to eat, right? Like I'm so thankful and grateful for all of those things. They are abundant blessings in my life. But my mental and my emotional space was incredibly taxed, because I'm talking about that sandwich generation, right? Like I am literally being pulled on by all five of my kids all the time. And my, the thing about my husband is that he and I really are great partners. So he is a dad that is like involved, you know, he is making lunches and helping to make dinner and picking out clothes and washing clothes. Like he is, you know, we are partners in this thing. This our marriage is not like some of the marriages that maybe, you know, I saw when we were growing up, where it wasn't a true partnership in all the things. Like, oh, well, the father, husband, the male partner is the main breadwinner. So, you know, the woman, the mom, female partner handles all the things, all the responsibilities at the house. No, that's that. And again, maybe we'll agree to disagree, but that is not a true partnership in my opinion. And it is incredibly taxing and stressful on the person that is solely responsible for the household. So anyway, I am just on tangents today. I am going down. See, this is what a check-in does for you though, right? It allows you a safe space to share, to release the joy and the sadness, the growth and the, I don't know, the going backwards. So anyway, like having that mental and emotional taxation, it was overwhelming, and it definitely kept me fuzzy a lot of days. It did. And it was, you know, because there was that constant demand on my time and my energy and my physical presence. And it kept me like in this hum space. It kept me humming. I had to literally pinch myself sometimes to like wake myself up out of the buzz of the routine and the grind. And like, thank God for my family, you know, like, seriously, there was one time when my brother, I have two brothers, but one of my brothers, he was in Florida and he was going back home to where he lives, and he had to come through South Carolina, and he was just calling me just to talk, like as he was driving. And I literally broke down crying. And I was just like, I can't. And he was like, okay, I'm on my way, Jocelyn. I'm on my way. And he literally took a detour because he was like, he was thinking he was going to stop anyway, maybe spend the night, but he stopped and he was there for like a couple of days because my husband was out of town. And I was like, I'm so stressed out. And so he came into town and just, oh, you know, I'm so thankful for that. So thank you, brother. Okay. Thank you. And then like for one of my sisters who is actually going to be a guest on the podcast in a little bit, but I'm just so thankful for her and her energy and her space and her allowing me to show up kind of however I needed to show up, whether it was like in a space of complete elation or complete depression, and to allow me to walk through that. And then like my sister-in-law and some of my sister friends, my sorority sisters that I've talked to, you know, I am so thankful. And this is why I talk about community and how important it is, because my community, those people they're everything. And they're not, each person is not everything all the time, right? Because nobody can be everything to you all the time. That's too stressful. I can't be everything to to any one person all the time. But thankfully I have a good size network of people. And so I can tap into different people at different times when I need them. And different people are sent my way at different times to help me to recalibrate and refocus. And so that really sustained me, and it lifted me, and it reminded me of joy and happiness. And you know what? I love that. And I am thankful for that. No one said that we had to travel this path alone. Partnership and community, it's important. And you know what? I think I am going to talk a little bit more about community and kind of how you develop a community in some later podcast episodes, because I feel like that's really important. Also understanding how to navigate a chosen community versus a selected, I don't know. I got to think of the word to describe it. But basically, like when you're in your classroom, those kids don't get to choose who they're in class with. You as a teacher, you don't get to choose necessarily like who is on staff with you, right? Like, it's kind of like you go there, you may have some friends there already, maybe you have some family there. And so it's like, oh, cool. Like I'm choosing to go to this school, but every teacher, you don't get to handpick, right? You don't get to handpick your principal and any of that stuff. So anyway, so I think I'm going to talk about that. Again, another digression. So I need to wrap this thing up. We're getting long here on this episode. So now we are moved and we're in the swing of things. We're unpacking, right? It's back to school season now. And I can say that even though that, of course, is like a hectic season, that I am much more present in my happy space. I am thankful for the accountability that I have, but I'm thankful that I don't need it as much right now because I'm not so much in a fuzzy space and there's not so much of a haze that I can kind of be much more accountable to myself on a regular basis. And so some of the things that I am doing to create my happiness, just so again, right, I talked about how you want to define it and you want to set your intentions around it. You really want to take some action steps. So these are some of the things that I'm doing to create my happiness. First of all, right, I defined what it meant, right? I'm still grappling with this definition and my ideas about happiness, because there are certain things in the way that I was raised and then as an adult still, right, going through college and my the different jobs that I've held and on my career path that have, and social media, right, that have put in these like subliminal messages about what happiness should look like and who deserves it and how long it can last. And so I'm constantly grappling with that, which is why I said that was a working definition. Okay, the second thing is that I am being much more intentional about stopping to be present in the moments, right? Putting my phone down to fully listen to my children speak and laughing fully and completely. Like one of my daughters asked me the other day, she's like, why are you laughing like that, Mom? I was like, well, I'm just laughing completely. You know, I'm not cutting off my laughter. I'm laughing fully. Another thing is that I'm being much more intentional about connecting with loved ones and nourishing relationships, which begins with the one that I have with myself, but also nourishing relationships. Another friend of mine that I talked to the other day said, Dazzlin, you have been traveling a lot. And I have, and part of it is for work, right? I'm traveling to schools now that things are simmered down a bit with COVID. Schools are wanting in-person workshops again. And I love that because I love to be in person and to feel that energy. It's so amazing. But I'm also traveling because I'm going to see friends. Like I'm getting ready to go down to Texas for a baby shower. And I'm going to be going back to South Carolina for another baby shower. And, you know, like I want to connect with people again. So that's one of the things that brings me joy. Also boldly walking in the joy of creating a business. I love my business. I do. Custom Teaching Solutions is one of my babies. So I've got like six kids and I love it. I love partnering with schools. I love working with teachers. I mean, it is what I am most passionate about. It is. I love it. I love meeting different educators from across the country. So I need to boldly walk in that. Sometimes when we start something new, it can be intimidating to share with people. But you know what? This is my purpose. This is one of my purposes. This is one of the reasons why I'm here on this earth, I believe. And I need to boldly walk in that and share that with people. The other thing I'm doing is reading more, whether that's listening on Audible or reading a physical book, like you see all the books behind me. I'm taking vacation. My husband and I went on a week-long vacation. Okay, six nights. Whew. And this is the first vacation we've taken in 2 years, just the two of us. So we needed it, okay? And it was challenging to as we were leading up to that vacation, because we both were just like, oh, we have so much to do with work. We have so much to do with, you know, the move. But I'm so glad that we took that six nights and we just went away. So I'm really glad about that. I'm using a diffuser. I've got my diffuser on right now. You may be able to hear kind of like a soft wind blowing. That is my diffuser. I really enjoy that. And the essential oils, they help to kind of keep me calm and zen. then I also decided I'm not drinking any more large drinks. So when I go to Starbucks, like I actually have my Starbucks coffee right here. Oh, you can see my lipstick on there. This is a tall. And I find that this is just enough. Larges are like extra larges nowadays. So I'll either get a small or a medium. Then I'm also striving to take 10,000 steps per day. And that has been really interesting because I don't always get it, but I strive for it. I think that that physical activity, getting outside in the middle of the day and just taking a walk, it really starts to rejuvenate me. And it reminds me to like connect with myself and connect with nature and all that. And just be present in the thing. And then acknowledging my feelings and being honest with myself and others about my capacity, because that is something that I have not traditionally done. I will push forward, even if I know that that thing is going to break me. I will give, even though I don't have anything to really give. And I think that I was doing that from a place of fear. Fear of disappointing people, fear of losing a friendship or a relationship. But at the end of the day, I'm losing myself and I can't do that. Okay, and then the last thing I wanna talk about is I'm wearing earrings. I love wearing earrings. I actually love wearing necklaces too, but I forgot to put one on this morning. But I've been wearing earrings. I've been trying to like put on a little bit of lip gloss or whatever, just in my daily life. So those are some of the things that I'm doing as far as action steps. And all of these are connected to my personal and professional happiness, right? I am appreciative for this journey. I am loving the opportunity to learn in this focused way. And I carry this awareness and this intention into every space. For example, when I am facilitating workshops, I am focused on being happy as I present. I am focused on bringing happiness to the teachers, even though we are doing some deep reflection that leads to challenging mindset shifts and complex conversations. I know that my goal is happiness, and that in the place from which I lead and I engage, happiness. To me, this means actively and open-mindedly listening to what people are saying. It means answering questions thoughtfully. It means acknowledging when I feel tired or frustrated or confused and working through that, right? And then creating the happiness in my personal life fuels me to walk happily into my professional spaces. It's a balance. It's a balance. And it's not one that I achieve every day, or sometimes I do achieve it at one point in the day, and then I don't, and then here we are. But that's what I'm constantly striving for. Okay. I thank you. Thank you for being my accountability partner. This was a super long episode. I think probably one of my longest episodes, but I thank you for listening, for hearing me, for valuing my voice. And I would love for you to send me a message. Like, let me know what resonated with you from this episode, what your focus word is or phrase. And I will check in again, maybe around December, right before I set my new focus word in January, just to kind of let you know how the rest of this happiness journey is going, and whatever the new word is that I'm going to choose for 2023. What is your focus word? How has it impacted your personal and your professional path? How do you show up differently because of this focus word? Completing the one word activity with your students can be so eye-opening for them and for you. So I highly, highly, highly recommend and encourage that you do this with your students, right? It gets your students to think about their motivations. It allows them to share with their classmates and to establish action steps that will provide much more focus and intentionality when setting norms and outlining the classroom culture and the expectations, because there is clarity around everyone's goals for the year. The norms and expectations can be designed to support that success. So, I mean, you literally just heard me talking through my motivations, right? Through my actions. It's the same thing with your students. Of course, you may have to do a little bit more scaffolding if you have younger students, but you can still do this. Now, I know that I talk about my own, like my biological kids a lot, but I feel like they are a really great sample size. And I do these same activities with my children who are young right now. As a middle school teacher, of course, I did these activities with my middle school students, but I still do these type of activities and these thought exercises with my 3-year-old, with my 6-year-old. And I talk to my 18-month-old. She can't always vocalize all of these things, but I believe that she's taking it in. So anyway, okay. Go on back to season 1, episode 4 and episode 5 so that you can get all the details on how to specifically do this work, this exercise with your students and then for yourself. Remember that I did create a resource that you can use. It already has PowerPoint presentations. It already has a journal for you and a thought kind of exercise for you to do for yourself, but it's got all the things that you need to successfully create this space, this thinking space for you and for your students. You can grab that by going over to the Custom Teaching Solutions Teacher Shop over on Teachers Pay Teachers. I will talk to you next week.
That's a wrap on today's episode, but it does not have to be a wrap on the action you're taking in your classroom. The perfect next step is to head over to customteachingsolutions.com/the-checklist and grab the free resource I created just for you. It's called the Ultimate Classroom Diversity Checklist, and it has 5 simple steps that you can take to create a much more welcoming and inclusive classroom today. All right, my friend, grab your free resource, and we'll chat next week.